Pass on the invitation. A compilation.
Adventure sounds exciting, but unexpected sounds, well, abrupt and often unwelcome, especially if you're someone who likes to have everything mapped out ahead of time. If that's you, then you may need to loosen your grip on control. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 8, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going." So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In other words, as followers of Jesus, we should start expecting the unexpected. It's easy to confuse what we've planned for what's really important. The meeting you're in might seem like your top priority, but the unanticipated phone call from your son, daughter, friend, or neighbor might be much more momentous in the long run for both of you. Isn't it interesting that many of Jesus' most memorable actions were done in response to intrusions into his own plans and schedule? His powerful words to Nicodemus, some of which I quoted above from John chapter 3, came after Nicodemus showed up one night, unannounced and uninvited, to ask a few theological questions. As a result, Jesus was able to seize the opportunity to teach this respected religious leader what it means to experience a genuine spiritual birth and the forgiveness and life that come with it. Later in John chapter 9, we see Jesus walking along the road on his way to do important things when he sees a blind man begging by the side of the path. Rather than viewing him as a distraction, Jesus recognizes a chance to express divine love and compassion. So he stops and heals the man, who immediately becomes a participant in the unexpected adventure himself. In John chapter 11, Jesus received word that his friend Lazarus was gravely ill. Jesus again changed his plans and made the journey to Bethany. As a result, he not only was able to comfort his friends, who by then were grieving Lazarus' death, but he also performed a miracle, raising this man back to life and, simultaneously, raising the hopes of everyone in the region who saw or heard about his amazing work. There's no doubt about it. The adventure is as much in the journey as in the destination. So open your eyes today to your surroundings. Become more spiritually circumspect. Yes, do your work, pay your bills, and attend to your 100 daily details. But remember that as a Christ follower, your mission is never just about tasks or achievement. First and foremost, it's about loving, serving, and reaching the people God places in your life. Their interruptions can become portals into the realms of His supernatural activity and divine impact. Mark Middleburg. How much time is necessary to lead a person to faith in Jesus? As much time as that person requires. It varies with each person, but this is not the right question. What we should be asking is this: how much time am I willing to invest into the spiritual life of some lost friend? The cost is great, because time is a precious commodity. We waste countless hours doing things of no eternal value. We watch TV shows with no intrinsic worth, read books with no spiritual significance, play games that edify no one, chat online into the wee hours of the morning. But we jealously guard what little free time we have left over after doing these meaningless activities. We resent the implication that our time could be better spent. We boast of our busy schedules as if they prove our worth as persons. But we do not realize that our busyness keeps us from matters of real value. Most believers, if asked and if honest, would say they are too busy to be involved in any kind of witnessing activity. They are wrong on two fronts. First, they have more free time than they think they do. They just need to reprioritize their activities. Second, the claim to be too busy to witness reveals their belief that witnessing takes place only at a set, programmed time. If they would approach witnessing as a lifestyle, they would find ample time to talk to others about Jesus. Woody D. Wilson. Whether in paid jobs or volunteer positions, he never gives us a place or situation that is too small to grow a witness in if we just pray and look around us. The world is full of people who need comfort, encouragement, hope, love, truth, and God's answers. They're there surrounding you, no matter where you may be. All it takes is a little searching to find those who are needy. There are times and places for great beacons of God's light, and there are times when he knows that the lights most needed are the many small ones. God's word brought to life in his children can be, as the psalmist described, a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Many times, those small lights to guide their next step are critical. You have to be walking at their side to help light their steps in such a personal way. So if that's where he's put you, enjoy the opportunity to share his light with them. Maria Fontaine. Jesus, God the Son, was born of a woman and lived the life of a human. He was the nature and character of God in human flesh. His actions, his words, the life he lived, manifested what God is like, made tangible in the life of Jesus. The ultimate love, the deep compassion, the hatred of evil, the anger at injustice, hypocrisy, and taking advantage of the poor and weak, the mercy and understanding, all of these were the personality of God played out in a way that we as humans could understand. Jesus was God's love, God's word walking the earth. He was called to pay the ultimate price of dying for the sins of those in the world, and in doing so, he made it possible for us to be reconciled to God, to become God's children, to have the right to receive the inheritance of our Father, which is eternal life. We, as members of God's family, his adopted children, play a role in God's great story, in his love for humanity, his love for his creation. We are called to share this story with those who haven't heard it, who don't understand it, and who have trouble believing it. With God's Spirit dwelling in us, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are ambassadors of Christ who have a personal relationship with God, and our commission from Jesus himself is to share the message, to tell the story, to let others know that they can be part of God's family. They can become part of God's kingdom, of his new creation. Their sins can be forgiven, all for free, since the price of their entry into God's family has been paid for. It's theirs for the asking. It's helpful to remember the end result of it all, what God is offering, so it's fresh in our hearts and minds when we offer it to others. Those who become members of God's family will live forever in a place of incredible beauty, which is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, with the radiance of jewels, with a wall constructed from precious stones, a place with no need of the sun or stars, for God will be its light. There will be no death, mourning, crying, or pain. It is a place that is free from all evil, a place where God will dwell with men forever. Ours is a message of joy, of happiness, of the possibility of eternal life in the most wonderful place possible, and a renewed life now. It truly is the most important message there is. As partakers of these eternal blessings, as his ambassadors, his messengers, we should do our very best to live in a manner which reflects God and his love, which lets people see God's light and feel his warmth through us, his children. We are to be messengers of the divine invitation, inviting one and all to the feast, to the kingdom of God. We are to preach the gospel, the good news that anyone can become God's child, that his free gift is available to everyone. We are to be messengers of love in word and in deed to a world desperately in need of God, of his love, his forgiveness, and his mercy. We are his messengers. Our job is to pass on the invitation, to share the good news, to tell the story, and to do so in a language that they understand through our words, our actions, and our love. Invite them. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Peter Amsterdam.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.